Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, July 12th of 2021. And I'm your host, the Miracle Man, as usual, coming to you from back home here in Midland, Michigan. Last week and the week before, I was on vacation. It was really nice. I did one show 2 weeks ago, and then last week I did two, albeit one of them was extremely brief, but praise God, we're back in business this week, and then next week is the Invasion Youth and Young Adults Conference, and so at night, I'm going to be there hanging out, just seeing God is doing. And I'm going to be talking a little bit this week as well as on next Monday night about what invasion. You see, I'm blessed in the sense that I had an invasion. My pastor, Dr. Barclay, he wishes very much that he had an invasion type thing to go to. And by the way, he's not talking about, you know, to be able to have food or a party or whatever with, you know, other young people. He means so that he could have gotten right with God then. But we want to see young people saved. That's like one of the greatest things that happens there is when young people get saved, give their life to Christ. Of course, it's also great that the young people who are already saved, you know, they gather together with other like-minded young people. And so pray for the conference. It's next Tuesday through Friday. The only reason I brought that up firsthand is for programming note, because I was mentioning why I was not on the air last Wednesday, even though I was on Monday and Tuesday. And then the previous week, I was only on Tuesday. But this week, we have We're at normal. Next week we have Monday and then Invasion. And then, and on that 26th, we're going to talk about, but on the 26th, that'll be the one day after the 4-year anniversary of when we launched this program. So it'll be the 4-year anniversary. And it's going to be epic. Yes, it is. It's going to be epic. So some of you will want to, you know, started my vacation, end up going. Well, the first couple days, and also the last couple days, I was in Elizabethtown, Radcliffe area. We'll say about 30 minutes south of Louisville. I did not say Louisville. That's how they'll say, that's how they say it up here. Louisville. No, Louisville. Yeah, okay, so I was in Louisville. A half hour south of Louisville. And we got to spend some good time with Ray there. And we went to Abundant Life Church yesterday, and was a really good word there yesterday morning before we headed home. But E-Town was, what I like most about E-Town is that's where Ray is, and we have some friends that I've met since knowing that church that I got to see. And so that was really cool. There's some places sometimes. There can be some places that you go to because of the certain people that might be there that you know well. Otherwise, you might not go there. And in case you're wondering, no, I am not slamming Elizabethtown, Radcliffe. No, I'm not. Okay. So after we left Elizabethtown the first time, we went to Corbin/London, Kentucky area. Actually, more like Cumberland, Corbin, and Williamsburg. Because I can just hear my mom going like, "Riv, what do you mean London, Kentucky?" Well, we didn't exactly go by London because the route was different because of where we were coming from. But we went to Corbin, we went to Cumberland Falls, and it was really nice. We did a couple-mile hike near the falls. In fact, someone told me, my mom took a video, and one of my helpers literally said, they joked and said that they thought root beer was coming out of that waterfall. And I thought that was cool. I thought that was cool. I think it would have been cool if root beer was coming out. Or vanilla Coke. Vanilla Coca-Cola. Or maybe if it was raining ice cream. Speaking of which, welcome to Ice Cream Month. Every July is National Ice Cream Month. July is also National Hot Dog Month. National Fried Chicken Day is also in July, right while I was down south. Somehow I didn't get the memo while I was down, well, until like a day or two after. It's wild to me the amount of food days that are in July. Well, by the way, we're just getting a thought off my chest. That's all. Oh, all right. So Corbin was, it was just a nice small town. We got to be there with the waterfalls and that. And, of course, my mom and dad would have liked to have had a few more different restaurant choices than that. But sometimes when you go to these smaller areas or you go to these different places for these different experiences, sometimes that's just part of the can be just part of the price you pay, to be honest with you. All right. So then Saturday we go to first to Knoxville, and we go to a restaurant and eat and look around the downtown area a little bit. And when we go near the grounds of this 1982 World's Fair. And then we go up this elevator that's like the fastest elevator I've ever been on. But when you go all the way upstairs, you can't go all the way upstairs because many of the floors are closed. We could only go up to the third floor. And then we went to Chattanooga after that, you know, Saturday. Very early evening, we got there, get to the hotel, and then we go downtown to get a bite to eat and see what's going on. We see a live band and right near the aquarium, and that was pretty cool. And then Sunday, we go to this church that we were going to when I was down there having my surgeries on the right side of my face back in the mid-1990s. And they were so happy to see me. And I was so happy to see them too. And I was so happy that I had suggested that we go there to that church, because that really meant a lot to me. It really meant a lot to me. And then we went to this market, which, according to my parents, the farmer's market up here has more, like, different food trucks. But the one there has, like, a bigger pavilion and stuff. Also, they had this live band that was playing music. And then at the end of their show, they were, because it was on the 4th, they were playing these America songs. God Bless America, America the Beautiful, God Bless the USA. And there were people, grown men there, weeping, crying, literally. And that was real cool. And then after that, we went to we fast forward a couple of days, we go up top of Lookout Mountain, and we saw on top of there, and there's a little, and Point Park is basically the site of one of the Civil War battles from the 1860s. So there's history as part of that, which I think is really cool. Really cool. And then I will say we also looked at the Chattanooga Choo Choo, which is a very historic hotel. You can actually sleep in an authentic rail car, which is very cool. They're actually in the middle of a big remodeling project there on the grounds. And so we did that. Looked at that. And then the last full day in Chattanooga was kind of a – that was the day that I hit up the – that Point Park. And went to that Champy's famous fried chicken, which is very good fried chicken. Some of possibly the best fried chicken I ever had, other than the hot chicken, which I would say is a tie. But or maybe the Champy's is better. I don't know. But very good fried chicken. Very good. And it's just food made with love, I have to tell you. And it's very good chicken. Very good. Very tasty. And then also went to this fish place called Uncle Larry's. Very big pieces of catfish. Very juicy. Just so delicious. And then we went, we also went to this place that I had never been to before at all called called Signal Mountain. My parent, my mom had never heard of it. My mom had never heard of it. But we went up there. We went up there and took a little bit of a walk, and it's a very nice mountain area. Lookout is also very nice. I really like them both. And there's another one I hadn't been to before either that we didn't get to go to. It's called Raccoon Mountain. But they call it the Scenic City for a reason. And over the different things we did, I can see why. And we also did do the Walnut Street Bridge, which is a very cool bridge. It's a nice bridge. One of the longest pedestrian bridges in the world, and just real nice. I really enjoy it. If you're a museum person, there's a lot of museums too, which some of these I might get back to someday. They also have the Tennessee Incline. When we tried to go do it, they were sold out for the day. But then after that we went to Nashville for a few hours the next day, and we looked around downtown and I got to hear the different music. And then we went to that big Opry Mills Mall. All in all, very nice trip. I was very glad I got to go. And so it was, not just saying, it really was a nice one. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is not my first rodeo. Now my pastor likes this is first rodeo. Remember Shelley, he does that? You know what? Fine. It is my first rodeo. I was gonna say it wasn't, but then I was, like, it's not as funny as if I say it is. Don't you agree? It's not as funny if I say it's not my first rodeo as it is if I say it is. Yeah. All right. Nonetheless, there's the two things I want to mention to you that we always try to mention on this show, but our two little house announcements. But first, I want to remind you that this episode of Miracle Man Show is brought to you by your local ice cream shop, where you can go and grab your nice, delicious ice cream, whatever flavor you want, and just enjoy a nice summer treat. A nice summer treat. Summer. Yes, summer. Now, I want to encourage you to go online to riversofmiracles.com. That's rivers with an I, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life, the story of how God has done so many great miracles in my life, and about the story of a God who my mom could not see, but she strongly believed in. And I have to tell you, the Lord has been so faithful. He's been so faithful to me. He really has. All the different miracles that he's done in me. I mean, just incredible, the different things that he's done in my life. And you know what? The Lord's not done with me. You know, at one point in my life when I was very young, my mom began to say this, Jesus, heal him or take him home. Heal him or take him home. Happy. Well, I haven't been taken home yet, which tells me that God has a plan for me, that he's going to heal me. Amen. The manifestation is going to come because my mom prayed that prayer when I was at an extremely young age, heal him or take him home. And so that's one of the things you can find in the book, Rivers of Miracles. Go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information. We believe in God to sell as many of these books as possible. So you can buy one for yourself, then give it to someone else. Or how about you buy two, one for yourself, one for someone else, then they give it to someone else, you give yours to someone else, and we're just believing God to, for that book to just get out there more and more and more and more and more and more and more. The other thing I want to mention to you is our PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com and in the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla, which is my name. This Rivers is R-Y-V-E-R-S, not R-I. It's R-Y. Of course, my name is Rivers Shukla. So you can type in Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name, S-H-U-K-L-A. And then you can select any amount of money that you want to give. and you can just, you know, sow that seed. And also, when you sow that seed, and I know that you sowed that seed, I pray over that seed. Every time you sow a seed, I pray over that seed. Because I want to see you blessed. I really do. I want to see you blessed. And I just want to see. What I want to see happen. I want to see you get blessed. And the verse I want to share with you tonight is where it says, Will a man rob God? Well, man must have said, no. God's God. Why would we ever rob God? Why would we ever rob God? Ever. God said, well, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings, keeping it for yourself, not bringing the tithes and offerings. Bring the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. That means if when you give the tithes and offerings, the tithes God requires that we tithe. The tithe rebukes the devourer. Now the offerings, your offerings are above and beyond the tithe. And, of course, tithe is 10%. Offering is above and beyond that. And so, and when you give an offering, of course, God looks upon the heart. Not just the dollar amount. It's the heart. You have a dollar. If I have a dollar and I put that dollar in the offering, God looks higher on that than if I He looks higher on that than if I have, let's say, $50 to give. Let's just say I have $1 and I give that. But then I have $50. Someone else has $50 and they give $30. One gave 100%, the other gave 60%. Using that as an example. But the Lord looks on the heart. So as you sow your seed into the Miracle Man program, I pray for that seed. Because I want you blessed. And this show here, when you sow seed here, it is very fertile ground. Very good ground. Amen, amen. All right. We're going to sing a couple of songs here, and then we're going to open up our Bible tonight and get into the Word of the Lord and see what God has for us. Amen. Oh, Lord, my God. To you I put my trust. O Lord my God, to you I give my hope. Oh, Lord, my God, to you I put my everything. Take all I am. Oh, Lord, my God, to you I give my life. In you I find my peace. In you I find my strength. In you I move and live and move and breathe. And let everything I say and do, find my life and faith in you. Lift up holy hands and sing, let the praises ring. Oh Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Oh Lord my God, in you I put my hope. Oh Lord my God, to you I give my everything. Take all I am. Oh Lord my God, to you I give my life. Oh, in you I find my strength. In you I find my peace. In you I live and move and breathe. Let everything I say and do, find my life and faith in you. Lift up holy hands and sing, praises ring. In you I find my peace. In you I find my strength. In you I live and move and breathe. Then everything I say and do, find my life and faith in you. Lift up holy hands and sing, let the praises ring. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise. They rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to stay like your name. Jesus, in your name we pray. Come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name.
Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save like your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to say, nothing has the power. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to stay like your, but your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You were the Word at the beginning. Now we realize your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You wouldn't want heaven without us. But Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What can separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil I'll tour before you, silence the boast of sin and grace. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we love you. We're so glad, Lord God, that your hand is on our life. Great to serve you. It's just great to have you here in our life. And it's just great to serve you. And just thank you, Father, for who you are. We've praised you. We've worshiped you. And now we're going to study your word for a while tonight. And now I pray, Lord God, that you would touch the hearts of every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl that is tuned into this radio program. Wherever they are, and I just thank you, Lord God, that you're healing our bodies, that you are dealing with these storms, that these storms all about us, that you would slow those things down. That you would just calm these storms, these waves that are all around us, that they would just cease. And now, Lord God, I thank you that you use me tonight to deliver this word, Lord God, and that these people would hear. Would do this word and not be hearers only. And they're just invested in their lives. In Jesus' name. Now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners would come into this program. I say that finances would come into this program.
I pray, Lord God, that increases in listenership would come into this program. And most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls, coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this wonderful radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Let's make our Bible confession, because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. More than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In Jesus' name. Wave that Bible if you got it. Make that make the devil mad a bit.
Yeah.
Turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. Woo! 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to talk about the oil of the widow, and we're also going to talk about the healing of leprosy. Amen. And I'm going to begin with verse 1. 2 Kings 4, verse 1, and NIV. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except for a little oil." Elijah said, "Go around, ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Do not ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your son. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. And they brought the jars to her. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." He replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left." One day, Elijah went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there, and she urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. And she said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let us make a small room on the roof and put a bed in it. We have a room up on the roof, Let's make a nice room for this man of God. Let's put a bed and a table in there. A bed, a table, and chair in there. and put a lamp in there for him. Then he can stay in there whenever he comes near us. One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room, lay down. He said to his servant, Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood behind him. Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can we do for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elijah asked. Gehazi said, well, she has no son, and her husband is old. Then Elijah said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elijah said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Do not mislead your servant, O man of God. The woman became pregnant. And the next year, around the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. My head! My head! He said to his father. His father told a servant, carry him to his mother. So the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother. The boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed with the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so that I can go to the man of God and return. Why should I go to him today? He asked. It's the new moon. It is not the new moon, nor is it the Sabbath. It's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on. Do not slow down for me unless I tell you. So she sent out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. No, it was not a place to go get a Carmel Sunday, by the way. That's not what Mount Carmel was. Oh, and I see you sitting over there wishing that it was. You're just sitting over there wishing. You want some caramel ice cream, and I know it. besides the point, that's not what Mount Carmel was. Unless I tell you, she came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant, Gehazi, look, there is the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away. But the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me, and he has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said, didn't I tell you? Don't raise my hope. Elisha said to Gehazi, talk your cloak into your belt. Take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on the couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. He got on the bed, lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, as he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room and then got on the bed and stretched out upon him another time. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. And Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. When she came, he said, take your son. She came in, bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Verse 38. Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was famine in that region. While the company of the prophets was meeting with them, he said to his servant, put up the large pot and cook some stew for these men. One of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine. He gathered some of its gourds and filled the fold of his cloak. When he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew, but no one knew where they were. The stew was poured out for the men. As they began to eat it, they cried out, oh, man of God, there's dust in this pot. And they could not eat it. Elisha said, get some flour. He put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people to eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. A man came from Baal Shemai, and the man of God, 20 loaves of barley bread, grain, along with some heads of new grain. Give it to the people to eat. Elisha said, how can I set this before 100 men? Servant asked. Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and will have some left over. Then he set it before them according to the word of the Lord. So, chapter 5. We'll read this and then we're going to discuss. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and was highly regarded. The Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. And she served Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go. The king of Aram, I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to him, to me, to be cured of his leprosy?" See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me? When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Let the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and would stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharaoh, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed instead?" He turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much more, then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" He went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. His flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God, and he stood before him, and he said, "Now I know that there is no, no God in all the world except in Israel." Please accept now a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not, said Naaman, please let me, your servant, be given as much as a pair of mules can carry. And your servants will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god except for the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servants for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Ramon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I bow there also. When I bow down in the temple of Ramon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Go in peace, Elisha said. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, my master was too easy on Naaman. The Syrian not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running toward him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. Is everything all right? He asked. Everything is all right, Gehazi answered. My master sent me to say, two young men from the company of the prophet have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two pieces of clothing. By all means, take two talents, said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the two talents of silver in two bags with two sets of clothing. And he gave them to two of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He sent the men away and then left. When they went in and stood before the master, Elisha, where have you been, Gehazi? Elisha asked. Your servant did not go anywhere, Gehazi answered. In the page. But Elisha said to him, was not my spirit with you when the man got down from the chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money? Or is this the time to accept clothes, olive groves, vineyards, flocks, herds, and maid servants? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went to Elijah's presence, and he was leprous, as white as snow. So you see here, you have Elisha, who is the man of God. Two different encounters that he has with people. Multiple different encounters that he has with people. The first one is where he has the encounter with the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman decides, you know, I am going to build this room on the roof of my house. I'm going to make it this nice room for Elisha, the man of God, I'm going to put a bed in there. I'm going to put a table in there with a chair. And also, I'm going to put a lamp in there. This way, he has a place to stay when he comes to this area. To the Shunammite, he says, what do you want, ma'am? What do you want? She tells him that, she wants a child, but her husband's old. You know, the servant, and then Elijah says, Elisha said, by this time next year, you're going to have a baby. She tells him, no, I'm not. Like, doubting. Next year, at the same time, she has a baby. She has the baby. Years later, he grows up. He's outside with his father, dies. Yells, my head, dies. They go in the house, they get the man of God. Man of God, you know, sits down, does some mouth-to-mouth stuff, and he gets up, sneezes 7 times, opens his eyes. 7 times. And then he's healed of that whole thing. The next chapter, there's Naaman. He's a good man, does a lot of great things, but he ends up with leprosy. There's a letter that goes to someone, and he sends it, and he's like, please cure me of leprosy. And then this other person says, am I God? And then Elisha told him, go in the Jordan River. Wash 7 times and you'll be healed. And Naaman is sitting there like, can I go to this other place? Isn't this other certain river near Damascus? Aren't these other waters that much better? Aren't they much more apt to cure me? Aren't they more apt to cure me than what this is? And then he gets told, well, the man of God tells you that if you do this, you'll get healed. Wouldn't you do it? And he decides, sir, you're right. He goes down to the Jordan, washes himself 7 times, and he gets healed. And then at the end of the chapter, Gehazi finds himself in trouble. And Gehazi had said he was just there when he had went somewhere. And Elisha said, may the leprosy that has been healed from Naaman. Gehazi goes away from Elisha, and he was leprous. White as snow. You know what? We have to obey the man of God. Listen to the man of God. If you go to a good church, a good spirit-filled church like I do, You have to listen to that man of God. That man of God that God has put there in that pulpit, that God has put in your life. Listen to them. Do what they tell you. They want the best for you. Force you to do certain things, but like if you want to be blessed, like if you want to get healed, Naaman, you have to wash in that Jordan River 7 times. It's really important, listeners, that you honor the man of God. Whatever the man of God is in your life. And I highly respect, I honor my pastor, Dr. Barclay. I highly esteem him. And, of course, I'm not perfect. But he's always saying great things about me whenever he sees me. And I don't just talk humble to him because he's my pastor. I do that to him because it's how I am. Like whenever I see him. And so to guide us, to correct us when we need it. And just likes to do its own. Sometimes it just likes to do its own thing. But you see, when your pastor, now those of you who are doing this certain thing, and he calls it out from the pulpit, now he might not call you out by your personal name and what have you and all that certain thing, but if he says, God showed me that there's these certain people here who are doing this certain thing, and you folks who are doing this certain thing need to stop it because you're hurting your walk with God. You're hurting yourself. Then you should obey. And let me say this. When you obey the man of God, when you honor the man of God, you're in turn honoring God. You're honoring the Lord. Amen. And of course, you have to make sure you're in the will of God. What I mean by that is, I mean, that place where God wants you to be. And so, that was just on my heart today. Because I was going to talk about, focus on the Shunammite offering, but then I felt like through God that I'm supposed to talk about, honoring the man of God. That God puts in your life. Because Elijah was a man of, excuse me, Elisha was a man of God. That people looked up to. He prayed over that boy, that Shunammite. That boy got healed. That boy was raised from the dead. He told that man, Naaman, go wash 7 times. He went and washed 7 times, just as he had been instructed. And he did that. Those were the instructions to get his miracle. See, sometimes when you're believing God for a miracle in your life, sometimes you have to follow these certain instructions to get that miracle. This man, Naaman was given specific instructions. And at first he was like, do I have to go there? Can I go somewhere else? He's like, and then he gets told, you know, Naaman, you really should just go do what Elisha told you. And he says, well, all right. And then he goes and washes in the Jordan. Jesus gave the blind man in John, an instruction to go wash in the pool of Siloam in order to see. That mud got put in his eyes. He was to go to the pool of Siloam, wash the mud off his eyes, and then see. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you that you would just get down there on the inside of us. And that when we'll believe in things from the Lord, and just in general as Christians, may we listen to the man of God that you are speaking to. The man of God that you are speaking through, as you speak through that man of God, our pastor, and that we will do whatever it is that he's telling us to do. And I just thank you, Lord God, that we would be keen to what you're trying to tell us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.